Welcome to On the Edge with SICK, the podcast where we explore individuals and organizations on the edge of social innovation through a design lens. We're your hosts, Nita and Sylvia, co-founders of SICK.
Today, our team is all together in a co-working space. I'm Nita, with Sylvia.
I'm Herman.
Herman is our product designer for SICK. You may remember him from our pilot episode. And today he has a guest that's actually a friend of his, and he's going to be introducing her.
Thank you, Nita. I have the pleasure to introduce to you Sandra Viviana Murillo Morales, Arku Runikos. Sandra Viviana is an interdisciplinary visual artist practicing conscious ambidextrous drawing. This means use the both hands while drawing. She identifies as neurodivergent individual. Training as an architect in Colombia, freehand drawing was always an essential communication tool in her professional practice in landscape architecture and urban design. After Viviana was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer in 2018, she began exercising both hands to alleviate pain for peripheral neuropathy in her fingers, a chronic side effect caused by the cancer treatments. She developed her drawing technique using color pencil and watercolor in different media. Her creative process is intuitive and focuses on gratitude for life. Welcome, Sandra Viviana, and thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Herman. Thank you, Nita. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you for the invitation to share my story with you and your audience.
Oh, you're most welcome. I also want to point out that because we're in a co-working space, you might be hearing some background noise. There's glass surrounding us, and there's group of people across from us that we can see that are meeting and cheering each other on for some purpose. So just to let you know, that's our built environment around us. And today we're talking with Sandra Viviana, and she's a bit of an expert on the built environment, as well as an expert in the world of ovarian cancer as a person with lived experience. So we start with asking all of our guests, what does On the Edge, which is the title of our podcast, mean to you?
On the Edge, the first thing that comes to my mind when I position myself on the edge comes back to a memory when I was dying, facing something unknown that actually wasn't prepared to. So that's the point, when you are not really prepared to face something. You know, in this case, that is just your life is just is challenged, and you need just to get the most out of your strength to continue living. What I learned at the time was that breathing was the only thing that will keep me alive. I was on strong, like really unbearable pain. And I needed just to resist. They were the last 10 days of the surgery when I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And feeling so close to death changed my life totally. I'm not the same person than before. And nowadays, when I reflect back to that experience, I just feel like I was that eye-opening experience of understanding and awareness of my own body and my own life was another opportunity to see life in a different way, to be reborn, just to come back to life with a different perspective.
Thank you so much. I'm sure that's relatable to a lot of patients going through similar life-changing experiences.
So, Viviana, we're just going to start with the beginning of your story. What's the origin of your name, Arku Runikos?
Yes, actually, it's It's coming from Spanish, and it's my artistic name that I carry over since my teen years when I was at high school. Arc refers to the same idea of an arc as you have it in English, but is the prefix of an architect. So I added that syllable when I got my degree in architecture. And Runikos is the name that I carry, that is a play of words and syllables and letters in Spanish, that those, some of the letters reflect in Spanish to an idea of success, an idea of uniqueness. And the letters are capitalized because I always like to play with capital letters in the words in different syllables. So it's just a creative way to present myself.
I met Sandra a few years ago when I was invited to give a little speech about my resilience process from illness in my middle spine. And in that moment, we became a really good friends, you know, talk about the design, urban architecture, and social innovation, because I want to spread my word about my experience. But suddenly, I stopped to hear from Sandra. I don't know what happened. And then this story starts. One day, she wrote me and told me, I am sick. I have cancer. And that was a really big moment for me because I feel empathized. Sandra, could you briefly tell us more about your personal cancer journey? Because I think this was amazing.
Thank you, Herman. You make me realize of that specific day. When I texted Herman and I reflected back on his recovery journey as well. And yes, that time I wasn't able to walk. And I was living at the time in Toronto. Nowadays I'm here in Montreal. But at the time, Toronto, living in downtown, we discussed that idea of what some people might not or might take for granted, the ability to be able to walk from downtown to the lakeshore. And at the time, I wasn't able to. And that was how I connected to Herman, just to tell him, yes, I am there. I am diagnosed with a high-grade ovarian cancer. Unfortunately, it was, and still it is a poor survival rate of 33% based on the type of cancer I was diagnosed with. It means that within the 5 years after the diagnosis, I have that statistical rate of survival that I'm here. That was back in 2019. One day, I just left the office for a doctor's appointment. I was working in urban design in Toronto, and I never came back to my office. I got the diagnosis. The final diagnosis, however, over the past 2 months, I was experiencing a lot of pain. Pain that actually all my life I had resisted. I had a really high threshold of pain during my menstrual periods. So nowadays that I reflect back on that, I'd say, well, why you were like, you were resisting that. Probably if you were a little bit more compassionate with yourself, you might have gone to the doctor more earlier. And the reason why I was trained as an architect in Colombia, I was always surrounded in a male-dominated world. And I kind of learned that, like, having my menstrual period, it was something that I didn't have to pay too much attention. I couldn't ask for sick days just because I didn't feel well. But anyhow, it escalated to a point that the pain was so unbearable. And yes, there you go, something that you never imagined that you had, and you were a healthy person with really good habits, vegetarian, do yoga, dance, and be a happy person without so much health issues, but probably a lot of stress. I was super workaholic and was always stressed. And that changed my life. I had surgery. I was 39 years old. I'm entering into menopause because I have surgical menopause. And it's kind of going back to connect with my body again in a different way, just to be more compassionate with myself and understand that from that point, I was just fighting my life. Surgery, wow. Chemotherapy, and everything that you can imagine on a cancer journey. Just for the purpose of sharing my story from my creative side and from what it meant to embrace a new life, I just use my creative power. After all these treatments and I was feeling better, I started experiencing a side effect of the treatments that saved my life, which is called chemo-induced peripheral neuropathy, which is a condition where your nerves at the extremities, especially in my hands, but also in my feet, were damaged by the chemicals that saved my life. And that pain, well, not to compare with what I had before, was something that I needed just to deal with. I moved to Montreal to be close to my family. And when I moved, just a couple of months after, during this recovery process, the pandemic hit. So I was here in my apartment, isolated because I was a vulnerable individual. But the pain started escalating in my hands. And my doctor's advice, the only thing that you could do is just movement. I didn't want to take more medications that will make me provide more side effects because of what other medications that I was taking. So as a creative person, I started using my two hands to draw, as I used to do in the past. I had done some color pencil activity during my chemo treatments. But at this time, I needed just to use my hands to do this. And I remember that I talked to Herman about this, and he was doing his studies. And he asked me to draw what I was feeling in my hands, the pain. Mm-hmm. And it is the first time that I really consciously started drawing something, an emotion, with my non-dominant hand, the left hand. I guess from that time, everything changed. I started using my two hands for ambidextrous drawing. Even I was kind of ambidextrous before, but I was always using my dominant hand, the right hand, to sketch. And yes, this was the way how I start using my two hands.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Viviana, for sharing your very personal cancer journey and how you shifted the challenges that you experienced into your creative process. That's so inspiring to me, and I'm sure it's inspiring to a lot of people that might be listening today. So I understand you have done a lot of advocacy work for Ovarian Cancer Canada, so much so that in 2022, you were awarded the Peggy Truscott Award of Hope. So can you share with us what were your contributions to the ovarian cancer community?
Yes, this is an important milestone, not because of getting another award in my life. It's a recognition that makes me be aware of what I have done with the community. I never thought I was going to get this. This was in 2022, but my involvement with Ovarian Cancer Canada started right after my treatments when I was here in Montreal in 2020.
Okay.
This award is recognized by Ovarian Cancer Canada every year. I got the award for TL Sister, how we call women with ovarian cancer, TL Sister. So I was the TL Sister from Quebec to get this award. It's a recognition of the courage and the commitment with the with a community impact in our sisterhood or in ovarian cancer field. But especially it was recognized because of my contribution with my art practice. So in 2020, when I was reaching 1 year after my first chemotherapy, I learned that in Canada, September is the National Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. In gratitude for everything that I had received at the time by the government, by the healthcare system, and the advocacy that Ovarian Cancer Canada does for us, because I was receiving a novel treatment that actually took more than 40 years to be developed, but ovarian cancer had supported it, I decided just to fundraise for the first time in my life. It was just in gratitude and just to ask my network. And I have a small network as an immigrant. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, how about if I create small drawings and I offer my donors these drawings, but I'm going to do a challenge myself. During September, I'm going to draw one drawing every day with my two hands, a small, like about 5 by 5 inches square. And at the end of the month, I will recognize the first 10 donors, all the donors that are donating and supporting Ovarian Cancer Canada, but also Hope and Cope Wellness Center, the Jewish hospital here in Montreal, which is the hospital where I am receiving treatment at, who also in September were fundraising for their amazing support programs for all cancer patients. Yes, after these months, I received phone calls from organizations that I was related to, like Hope and Cope, just to offer a small workshop and share my drawing technique with other cancer patients. And it started informally, but I ended up joining a cancer group of people who meet every week, one day, just to do art. So gradually, the art practice became a way, not only as a therapy, but also just to use all the knowledge I had as trained as an architect and designer, and how I had used these abilities of draw in a different way. All of this, like, it was just my involvement was not only to fundraise for the fact of getting funds, it was more my survival strategy to cope not only with the physical pain, but with the psychological and mental health associated conditions that you have to deal with.
Thanks so much for sharing so much around your contributions to Ovarian Cancer Canada. And also you touched a lot about your neurodivergent and ambidextrous drawing technique, I think, already.
Identified a neurodivergent individual. I experienced color synesthesia. For the audience who are not familiar with this, neurodivergence has so many shades now, how it is recognized. But when your brain doesn't work in a neurotypical way,
mm-hmm.
you are seen as different, a different way. I understand now my brain works in different ways, such as how when I do ambidextrous drawings or when I make connections crossing of my senses, how it happens in synesthesia. So synesthesia, it's a neurological condition that gives rise to a type of merging of senses. So when they are not totally separated and act in a different ways, but they merge and there is a combination of them. So in my case, it's color synesthesia. So I associate colors with emotions, with certain words of concepts. In my art, this was from the beginning when I was doing just the typical mandala drawings that you get like coloring books. I will pick a color according to the emotion I feel of the day during my chemotherapy days. And I will express myself in that color only, or I will dress in that way. And it has been always a practice just to identify things with color. So when you see my art, the colors you see that I pick, and the color palette is consciously picked with the emotions and the senses that I connect with. If I draw about gratitude is always, to me, within shades of orange and pink. That's how I express myself.
So, Noriana, we understand that you have an interest in biophilic design. This sounds really amazing. Can you explain for our listeners what is biophilic design?
Okay, so biophilic design is this practice where you make connections between the natural world and the built environment. When you take into account the natural world, and when you start designing places or adapting places, you really think of the natural world as mirroring the natural world, or taking into considerations characteristics of patterns of the natural world, and you implement that in the design. So when I reflect back on what I've done in my professional career, like earlier in my years, working with wood back in Colombia to design architecture in wood, like you are using the materials, in this case, wood, taking into the characteristics of the material and putting back that into the built environment. So you are creating with the material, with a natural material. You are bringing wood or trees, if you say in a way, into the indoor environment to design places. Or if you are thinking about, let's go to more the urban landscape or the design of parks, you can bring nature into cities by creating parks or small oases or areas where you replicate what the natural world is just within the built-up areas, like an urban park, a plaza within a built-up city. When you connect with nature, your brain works in a different way. You can lower the stress by just being immersed in nature. So if you need that, you need to go back to nature in order just to get to a state of relaxed state. It's because you have evolved from it. And so when you go back to the forest, and there is a practice actually, and probably you have heard about forest bathing or chirin yoku, the forest bathing practice, when actually it was from in Japan. It was born in Japan, but nowadays we have it in North America, that you go to in the forest, you go into a park. I go often to the mountain here in Mont Royal in Montreal, and there is a guidance just do a like a therapeutic practice that put you into a state of relaxation by just being conscious about your environment around, which is nature, by taking all your senses and connecting and attuning your senses with nature. And it is proved in scientifically that the response of your brain, that you can lower anxiety levels, even the smell that you get from the chemicals that are emitted by trees help you to reach a state of calmness and even improve or foster healing processes within your body.
Concept of forest and color, and what you want to share about through this new work.
Okay, Forest in Color is my first founded artistic project. Actually, I got funding from the Le Conseil des Arts de Montréal, the Council of Arts of Montreal, under a program for artists that experience disabilities.
I designed a project that took into my knowledge as a urban designer and landscape architect and my passion for nature, integrating that into art. So this project is a project that honors 7 trees native to Quebec that are present in the urban parks of Montreal. And they focus on celebrating 1 year of my life, reflecting back on the characteristics and qualities of these trees of regenerate or be resilient to the urban conditions in the city. What I'm doing is creating a human-sized ambidextrous drawings, 3 panels that are up to 3 by 7 feet size. And I am abstracting these lessons of these trees to convert these panels into an installation to tell people how I feel these lessons, how I experience these lessons in my color synesthesia way, drawing abstractly that tree based on the emotion the lesson or the emotions associated to the lesson that the tree teaches me. So what I envision is that at the end, when this installation takes place, these drawings are going to be in color and you will be able to immerse in this area. This is not a conventional exhibition where the artwork is on the walls. They are just suspended from the ceiling in combination with some paper sculptures that I do with my two hands, with drawings with my two hands, and topographic sculptures in the vase. So you will be able to experience what I see in my brain in color, are inspired in these lessons that trees can teach us. They don't belong to urban environments. They belong to the forest, if you want to see it that way, but they have evolved as well with us in urban conditions. Some of them, the ones that have been planted in our parks or on our streetscapes, are the ones that are the most resistant to urban conditions, such as the salt spray, such as hard surfaces around. Some of them survive, some others not. But I'm looking at them and I'm seeing myself and reflecting onto the power of my own body of regenerate. And when I see the trees, I see their their ability of regenerate as well as a natural condition of the existence.
Wow.
But we could adapt. We could push the boundaries and reach another state of to be stable or to stand facing the adversity that's around us.
That's a really amazing, Sandra. And please share it when you finish this work.
Yeah, agreed. I would love to be immersed in a forest of color. So, Viviana, we're going to wrap up this episode. And I think you've been so generous with us and shared so much about your cancer journey, your artistic process, your engagement with the community. And it's incredibly inspiring. But if you were to look back at our conversation, what's one key takeaway that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Wow, I love to share what I've been sharing over these past 4 years with people who I am connected with and who know about what I have gone through. And it is, life is just in the present moment. Life is today. We need to live in a constant state of gratitude with life, because we have this moment. We cannot change the past, and we don't know what is going to happen in the future. This is the only time that we have.
Yeah, that's a very insightful thing to share. Thank you so much. And listeners, connect with you. I know you have a couple of Instagram accounts. Sick is following them. I'm really loving what I see in terms of your use of color and your art. Did you want to share with our audience what those accounts are?
Yes, I'm more active on Instagram. So actually, I started my account more as a legacy of my art.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have some photographic essays that I do on another account. So the first one is Arc Ron Nichols underscore color. So ARQURUNICOS, Ron Nichols underscore color, British spelling, COLOUR. And the photographic essays are only on Arc Ron Nichols. And there is just my website is www.arcronicles.ca is just a page holders where you have holding the links to the other accounts that I have.
Okay.
And I'll be so happy just to connect with people through them or just to share my art practice with them if they are interested too.
Thank you for listening to On the Edge with your hosts, Nita and Sylvia. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others or drop a comment and rating. Head over to sickhealth.ca to learn more about Sick and check out all the links and resources in the episode show notes. Thanks and stay tuned for future podcast episodes with On the Edge with Sick.